Guys, it's really awesome to have you here. I know it's a busy weekend all around, so it's really great when we can get together in God's house. Who of you guys enjoyed worship and time in God's presence? Guess what? God's presence didn't leave. It's still here. When two or more is gathered together in His name, there He is with us. So God is still here, and I'm trusting. This is my only prayer for today's message, is that yesterday, but in the season we will see God. That's it. So, Lente, I just want to honor you. Thank you for that word. It just confirms that. And Umyuan and Pietri is not here, but just that song. I didn't know what songs they're going to pick. The Holy Spirit knew. And just that song Umyuan brought is just so near and dear to my heart concerning the message of this morning. So I'm just thankful that God, even when you've got a rough week and a very, very, very busy weekend, God puts it all together because it's His church. So guys, it's nice to have you here. I'm going to recap. This is a small three-part series on one scripture, and I'm going to end it off today. But I realize there's a couple of people that did not hear the first two, and so I'll quickly recap and run through that. I'm sure the Holy Spirit will enlighten you of the things that's important, and then we'll get to the grant of today, which is very simple, very easy, yet, as Lente stated, very profound. It is something that you're going to do for eternity. So you better get used to it now. Better get a liking for it now and see how amazing it is, because we're going to do it for eternity. And like we shared before, and just to add on what Lente said, is yes, we were made to worship God. I think in our beings, we automatically worshipers. But the sad thing is, and what I realized this weekend with deliverance ministry and stuff, is that we always worship something. I know a friend of mine does not necessarily believe, or does not believe at all, just said on Facebook one day, "I do not worship anything." And I realized that it's a profound, humanistic, amazing statement for the world out there, but it's an absolute lie. Because it's either yourself, and when it's yourself, it's more devilish, obviously, but you always worship something. And unfortunately for humans, with idols, etc., there can be more than one thing as well. So that's why we chatted about pure hearts last week. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to recap, and we're going to trust to see the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father. Your Holy Spirit and power, not man's words. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most awesome scriptures in this entire world for me is in Matthew 5, and you guys have heard it a couple of times. You'll probably hear it out of my mouth again, and that is just Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who of you guys have seen God? We're going to get to the definition now, but who can boldly say, "I've seen God"? I like the humility, Shaul. It looks like a dance, but yes, Shaul, you have seen God. The way in which I understand it. Now, we've broken it down twice. Quickly going to say it again for those that weren't here. We all, in Christianity and most of life, starts at a very interesting place called the heart. Heart is part of our soul. We've got the body, soul, and spirit. And heart forms part of your soul. And it's not something that's easily defined. Praise God for the Bible. So we can just go back to the Word to see how God defines our hearts. Now, we've stepped through this one, and what we, as a community, just decided that these four words we're going to remember when we chat about that is that my heart is, my thoughts are my feelings. Yes, thanks. My thoughts are my feelings. That's the mind. Can be a crazy place sometimes. My emotions and my desires. Now you can just quickly think all of the things, the th- th- thoughts and feelings, emotions, desires. So those are the things that comprises the heart. I love what it says, the metaphor for the seat of our most basic orientation. My most basic orientation. Not my identity, my most basic orientation. Our deepest commitments, what we most love and hope in, what we most treasure, what captures our imagination. So your heart, merely the seat of your heart, gets won by the force of the influence, or the truth, or the love, that catches your imagination. The one that you most love and trust is the one that catches your heart. And it's important to know that. Now, through the ages, there are many fights about what is the heart, etc. But the Bible clearly states that there's a battle in the heart. It's either an evil force or a godly God force that needs to possess and take over and bless your heart. For that we need salvation and we need Christ. And we said that, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So we said, okay, what's blessed? Who's lend out their ears to a bit of prosperity gospel? Sounds good. Not the end of the world. We should. I'm not condemning anything. Jesus, I have no idea the length and the width and the amazement of God's grace yet. I'll probably only see it one day. So I say that mockingly, but in the good sense or in the lighter sense of the word. But you're not blessed if you've got a BMW necessarily, or if you've got tickets to the Stormers game next Saturday. That is not necessarily blessing. To have a lot of money is not necessarily blessing. Jesus said the following in Luke. He said, true blessedness is this, those who can hear the word of God and are able to do it. If you can hear and be obedient. It's my own terms for the scripture in Luke. But you're really blessed if you can hear what God is saying and you are able to do it. That is true blessedness. And then we looked at the word of purification. Purification sounds a bit of a holy word, and it is, because purification is clean. Who remembers the sermon we did, or the Sunday we chatted about consecrating something, giving something to the God to be used? Before I give my braaibak to Nerina, I said, I will give it to her with Friday's leftover choppies. Nia, I will wash the braaibak before I give it to her. I will clean it before I consecrate my braaibak and my Marina braaisout. Narina. Same as with our hearts. There's a cleansing, a purification that needs to take place before we can consecrate it and say, hey Lord, there we go. Francisco was just cleaning his little boy's mouth and nose and ears and everything after set up this morning before they go into church. And I said, well, wow, it's just amazing how clean you are. One needs to be clean when you go to church. And he just laughed. He couldn't understand. But I said, but guess what? Don't tell them. It's actually the inside that matters, not the outside. So it needs to be clean on the inside. You need to be clean. If your nose is runny in the life sense of the word, or if your hair is not done, it's not well, that matters, but it is the inside, cleaning the cup, that matters. Need his snuffles, and he beta can't need, not the things on the outside. God helps us and he purifies us. Who's the refiner's fire? Who is the one that purifies us? Malachi 3, we said it last week, it's Jesus Christ himself. This is such a beautiful picture. He comes like a refiner's fire and refines our lives, refines our heart like silver. Why don't we want clean hearts again? Because we want to see God. We want to see God. He refines it by the fire. The fire of God, we said to each other, is the presence of God. What happened in worship this morning? Mian was singing a beautiful song. God's presence was clearly here. It is as if a fire is here. And the way I stepped into worship, an area of worship this morning, and the way I stepped out of it, I feel like a different person. When you're out and cold, when it's freezing, when it's raining, here in June in the Cape, and you come out from the cold, and you come and sit in front of the fireplace, heat yourself up, you get all dried, you go and get in bed, you're a totally different person an hour later. Guys, if we come to church or if we meet in small groups or if we have fellowship or accountability, whatever we call it, we chat about amazing testimonies and there's not a fire of God, not a presence of God, we're going to leave the same. But if there was truly a fire of God, a consuming fire of God, the presence of God, the love of God, Jesus Christ Himself, we will never leave the same. That is the God we serve. That's the Father we sang about earlier. So God is coming and He purifies our hearts and He helps us by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ. And then lastly, by the Word of God, we said to one another last week. I don't think it's up there, but Hebrews 4:12, I love this. And you can hold up your heart and say, Lord, I said it's like a, the little knife that a physician would use. Scalpel. It's like the scripture scalpel of Christ that He just uses, that God just uses. And just doing and cutting off the edges. Doing the small little things in our soul so that our hearts can be purified. For the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. So the Word of God is able to discern and come and dissect and come and take out and tune and help and bless and purify these hearts of ours. The Word of God. Now today, what words are left in that verse? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So what are we going to chat about today? Seeing God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now before I go on, and it's a bit later on, I'll deal with it, but we need to be certain, do I really want to see God? How eagerly do you want to see God? Do you have a heart to see God? And you don't have to, this is not a religious question, it's just a question we need to be sure. Otherwise, we spend 3 weeks and how many small groups of chatting and coffees and chatting about, but are you really hungry to see God? Am I really hungry to see God? Are you really hungry to see God? Now, what does it mean to see God? What does it mean to see God? Guys, there's not a right answer. It's like defining seeing God is like defining love or defining God Himself. It's kind of wide, and this is me, Retief. I'm not a theologian, an expert theologian, so I'll probably not cover all the bases. So you're more than welcome to add anything. What is it for you to see God? I've seen that. Amen. Amen. God comes through in providence. Definitely. I've seen that many a times in my own life. Any place, guys, anything, where have you seen God? Who's got children? Wie was by toe hulle gebore is? Who was there when they were born? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Willem heard all about it. It's not part of the sermon.
But who were there when their children were born?
There was a holy moment when Frieda and then later on Sophia arrived, and my eyes just shot full of tears. And there was a God moment, a holy moment that I cannot explain to any future dad, really in good words, neither Afrikaans nor English. I cannot explain that holy godly moment of seeing God, seeing new life being born like that. Where did you see, how do you see God? When He answers prayers. Amen. They saw it this week, when God answers prayers. Who's ever seen God in the Word of, yes, sir? Amen. Awesome. Praise God. He says that, that's such a good one, I need to repeat it. He says he's seen God multiple times since he's walked in the door this morning. Where else have you seen God? At work. A lot. You can, I'll give his email to you guys and you can send your CVs. But yes, I've seen God at work as well. Anywhere else, guys? It need not be difficult. In his garden. That I do understand. In Imran's garden. Amen. In the sunsets and sunrises. Amen. Just knowing God's holy and God's supernatural presence when you are in the dark. Amen. See God in people and characters. Amen. I see that a lot. I've said it maybe too many times, but I've seen God so many times in Emmy, maybe more than his wife. You know how it goes. But I've seen Emmy a lot. Or I see God a lot in Emmy. I haven't seen Emmy and God yet, but I've seen God a lot in Emmy. In the sea. Amen. I haven't seen that. I've prayed a lot in the sea, but I haven't seen God. But I've experienced His presence. Yes, absolutely. I'm just joking. Yes. Amen. Don't give my point away. He says pretty much everywhere. There was another hand here. Changing people. God, that is changing people. And like Demi said this morning, when the captives are set free, it's got nothing to do with me, but I don't know, was it Rolf that was sitting next to me, but a lady that did encounter here last year, or 2 years ago, encounter one, she came from another church, just came up to me this weekend and said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I needed to puzzle out, where? I said, "Yeah, goed en jy." And she said, "Well, my life changed after that prayer." I'm like, praise God. But the bottom line is God many a times does stuff. And then I obviously put two and two together. God does massive stuff in and through your life. That is God and God's footprint, God's handprint, God's thumbprint in the moment that changes another life. Brenda, you were walking out this morning. And I just said, Sophia just started to sing a worship song that we don't play at home necessarily. And I just asked, well, where did you get that from? And she said, just Tani Renda, Tani Renda. And I just had to. And I just realized that was a God moment because my father's heart just swelled up. Guys, I just believe we can go on like this for a while. Where have you seen God? I've seen God in my father's eyes, my earthly dad. That's, I don't know where that comes from now. That's a bit personal, but I don't know if I shared this testimony. Who's been in Stellenbosch University? Or at least have gone to rugby games at Stellenbosch. Now, when you play there, I might have told this before, but it's near and dear to my heart. When you play rugby, your residents, your courses, and all of their friends and people will stand on this side, and then obviously the other team's people will stand on that side. Now, I was a hooker. Let me quickly explain, if you don't understand rugby, that's the guy that just throws in the ball in the line-out. I'm not going to explain the rest of that now. Long story short, now, I was in Haysfis, and my mates would stand on this side, and obviously I'll play the game, and then now and again, I'll have to throw in the ball. So hopefully they kick out on this side where my mates are standing, because I need to stand with my back to the crowd, which the type of language, and yeah, anyway, I had to cut off all those curses. So I stood on this side, and then I need to throw in the ball, but sometimes you need to stand on the other side. So now you're standing
next to the crowd, and they hate you. They despise you, and they swear at everything and your mother. It's just crazy. But my father would come and watch my games on Friday afternoons, and he never went and stood on my resident side. He didn't stand on the Hesperus' side. He went and he stood amongst the enemies. He stood on the other side of the field, where the other Kosses, where the other residents, crazy students, would be standing and shouting and flicking. He wouldn't say a word. They wouldn't know. He's just a random guy. They wouldn't know, but when I come up to a line now to throw in the ball, I would see him. I'll make eye contact with my father. And I'll see him amongst the crowd, and I'll see him amongst the enemies. They won't even know he's there. But it just stirs such a confidence in me that whatever they say, whatever they throw at me, whatever they spew at me, that wouldn't make a difference. I'll go and I'll throw in the ball. We won't say a word, but he will be amongst the enemies, and that's the God. That's the place. God many a times reminds me of that picture, because I believe that's what God does for us. I saw God's love in there. Anything else, guys? Place where you see God's love. If you don't understand rugby, I'll explain that afterwards. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Anything else? See God in worship. Amen.
To see God is to hear God.
Amen. You're going a bit... it's fast for me, Gerrit, but amen. To see God is to hear God. Many a times in the dire moments when you have no idea, prophecies, I love prophecies, and I've seen how that changes lives. Prophecies is a moment where you see God and hear His voice, yes? Amen. Amen. I see God when I see people do the will of God. Amen. Anything else? Any children? Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, children. Who's seen God in children and through children? Except from Jan's garden. Who's experienced, and waves, who's experienced God in nature? Psalm 19 type vibes. Man. Anything else? Where have you seen? Amen. Amen. You see God in people who walks in humility. Amen. To see God is, I guess we have to go on. But if there's anything else, we can come back to that just now. To see God, when figuratively employed, it denotes to perceive, recognize, or experience. That's exactly what you guys have been saying. To see, recognize, or experience God. Receive, enjoy, and experience. It's so sad that religion wants to bog your heart down and your ways down to say, no, it's not an experience. It's only a mind thing. It's only up here. I'm not saying, ew, it's all freaky out there as well. But there's a good balance between spirit and word. And it's needed to have an experience. Who of you with an earthly dad or an earthly mother, if possible, would not want to have an experiential relationship with them? Not just a cognitive one, or not just a knowledgeable one. I have this amazing dad. I could have told you my testimony of just now and read you something on a paper about who this guy was, but I never saw him next to the rugby field. It's a bit of a difference. It's a bit of a difference between religion and relationship. It's a bit of a difference. But it's an internal difference. Hence, a very important one. Now, you see God with your eyes. This song would just kept on coming in my heart this weekend as I prepared, is that, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. And that can be a mandate or a motto for life, just that, open the eyes of, I'm not going to sing, not there yet. But just, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you. Now, just quickly, generally in the Bible, that was in context in that scripture, is that it's a figurative manner in which we see God. But just in the Bible, it states that no man can see God in our earthly form. No man can see God and live. John 1:18 says, and it's not up there, the apostle wrote, no one has seen God at any time. And in Exodus 33:20, God said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." Now, there's two accounts, one of Moses, one of Jacob, where it speaks of seeing God face to face. But that is a figurative speaking, manner of speaking. I did the research just to make sure, because otherwise you might just fall over and die. John 6:46 says the following, "Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father." And that's a good intro to where we're heading. Who's this one that has seen the Father? Jesus. Jesus is the one spoken here about. Except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. If I should say to Willem, stand up. Not really. Willem, stand up. I am going to tell the congregation a bit more about you. And a minute later, I'm going to give the mic to Narina and say, now, you're more than welcome to tell the congregation a little bit more about Willem. Whose testimony are you going to believe? Guys. Okay, Nico says I'm the pastor and I do not lie. I like the answer. If I was Johan Stemmet, I would have said 50 randjies for you. But, that's not applicable. Narina is obviously a much better testimony, or would give a much better testimony of who Willem really is. Hence the following. If you want to see God, who should you ask? Are you going to ask Retief? Hopefully for some minor questions, but who's the one that will really, really, really reveal? Who will be who will give the best testimony of who this God, who this Father is? It's that one. Let's move on. That's a beautiful account, and I'm not going to share it now. In Exodus 33, go and read it about Moses wanting to see God's glory. But he couldn't, but God made a plan and he showed him a bit of his side. Go read the story, it's quite interesting. But one day, we'll get to heaven and we'll see God. We'll be able to see face to face. But now, we're on this journey. We're on this journey to get to know God. To see Him in each other. To see Him in things. To see Him in visions. To see Him in dreams. To see Him in the Word of God. To see Him in worship. To see Him in each other. So if Jesus is the one that have seen God, and the one whose testimony we should trust, maybe we should not lend our ears to many books, too many CDs, too many people, but go to the one that can truly show you the heart of the Father. The one that can truly help you to see God. John 14:6 says the following. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life." I am the way, the truth, and the life. To where is he the way, the truth, and the life, by the way? To the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would have known my Father also. Remember this. If you know me, if I know Christ, in word, logos and rhema, in person, in word, if I know Jesus, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. From now on, you have known him and have seen him. How can we see God? Obviously through Christ. Go on. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus says, he is the one that has been with God. He is the one with a perfect testimony. He says the following, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? Apart from Jesus, it is impossible to see God. Many people would like to pick a bit of a religious fight around that. But to have a true picture of God the Father, the I Am, Alpha and Omega, the maker of heaven and earth, to have a true blueprint picture of God, to see Him for who He really is, cannot be done in a human way except for through Christ Himself, the way, the truth, and the life. So any theology that any person should conjure up or think out, that adds or denotes or takes away or puts, gives extra to Christ himself, and then obviously God, to God, is one that would get lopsided and skew and skiff. But to have Christ and to ask Christ is the only way to see the true picture of God. Back to a question I raised earlier before we start to end off. Guys, why do we want to see God? Why do you want to see God? Amen. I like that. That's good enough. You don't have to answer. That was just a good answer anyway. But why do we want to see God? There's a world out there, and we're going to move out there. And I can share the scripture with them. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And he's like, well, purity is one thing. It sounds humanistically fine. It sounds like a good idea. It sounds like a novel idea. But why the heck would I want a pure heart to see God? Why would I want to see God? Amen. That's my first point. It's a father. What natural son or daughter does not have a natural inclination in their heart? And I'm not even going all spiritual. I'm just saying what God gave to us as a picture. Who do not want contact with a real father or mother? This is maybe a bit sensitive, but have you ever known or heard a story or read a book, not non-fictional book, about an orphan or somebody that did not grow up with their parents? There's eventually many a times an area or stage or a season of their lives where they go on a journey, a hunt, a process where they knock and where they seek and where they ask and where they Google search, and they do everything under the sun to find out who their natural parents are. Have you guys ever come across or at least read a book about something like that? It's inevitable that you would want to go back to where you come from. Your origin. The one in the worldly or fleshly term, the one who made you. There's just a natural thing. How much more spiritually is it just so natural for us just to say, I want to know where I come from. I want to know the one that made me. Because he can tell me who I am. And I want to know who he is. I want to see God because I said to the Lord, I've said to him before, Lord, when I see you or when I hear you, as Gerard correctly said, things just make sense. They don't really make sense, but they just make sense. Does that make sense? But it just makes sense. In his eyes, in his heart, on his lap, in his word, in his presence. Things just make sense. So yes, I want to see God because he is my Father. And it's just something that he's placed in us to want to meet up with him. And I believe it's obviously a godly thing that he wants himself, evidently so, in making us as his children. Now, secondly, why would I want to see God? Is I want to know his will. Who's ever tried life for a couple of years or decade or two decades without knowing God's will? Who's ever tried that? Only a couple of you guys. Yes. Amen. 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 Dirk just said, well, why see God? Because he wants to see you. That is the, as Imyuan sang, that is what a perfect father does. Getting back to the will of God. I want to see God because I want to know the will of God. I've tried life on my own and I dismally failed at it. And now the origin of life, life itself, the way, the truth, and the life, who's best to go and ask how to do life, what to do? God never wanted us to be robots, yet he called us into relationship and said, if you would submit your will, if you would like to come into my care and love, I'll share everything with you. Acknowledge him in all your ways. That's what fathers does. They go stand in the enemy's side and they just hulle maak jou baie vir jou gelyk. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Renewal of your mind, heart. See the link. That by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect will is. Change our hearts so that our hearts can be in tune, so that our hearts can truly see God and know His will. Because out of that, true blessing will come. I just quickly said there, seeing God leads to the following. Somebody mentioned it. Seeing God leads to love. Or love leads to seeing God. Where true love, not lust, not other stuff, not a afgewaterde, but where true love manifests itself, you will see God. Because John says what? 1 John says, for God is love. So where love in its pure form, in its purest form, when somebody will bless somebody else that's really in dire straits, that needs material blessing or needs help desperately, a door to be opened for them, and a fellow believer comes and opens that door of love to them, it's like God is opening up that door. If somebody is begging and somebody needs a cup of water, and you should give that cup of water to them, it's like a manifestation of Christ, a manifestation of God in that moment. 1 John 4:12 says, no one has seen God at any time. And then funny enough, in the same scripture, I wanted to say but is not written in there. If we love one another, God abides in us. If we love one another, God abides in us. And His love is perfected in us. So God can be perfected in you as we choose to love one another. So we will see God. I'm ending off with another question. Sorry, a couple of, it's very ordained yet amazing questions. No, I'm not ending off. I just want to say two other things. Apologies. You can go to the next scripture. Seeing God leads to life itself. Isaiah 61. Don't have time to go there, but it's Jesus' mandate. He came to set the captives free, mend the brokenhearted, etc., etc. It's just who He is. If change comes, if the captives are set free, that is where we see God. It leads to change. Seeing God leads to multiplication. And it's not all material, but if God brings restoration in my life, if God sets me free, if God touches Nico's life and He sets him free, it's going to multiply in Zoe's life. It's going to multiply to a big degree in his wife's life. It's going to multiply in other children's lives. And then Zoe's children's lives one day. God is a God of multiplication of the blessing that He gives. God is a multiplier of the life that He's given you. The kingdom comes where God is seen. You're in a dire moment. You have no idea what to do and you can only pray. And you say, Lord, help me. The moment you see Him, either hear Him as Gerard said, the word speaks to you, a brother brings a word in season. And the moment you see God, the kingdom can come in. But you need to let the kingdom come in. And lastly, eternal value. I don't want to make light of it, but I don't have a lot of time. But it was so amazing that, was it on Monday night at men's evening, Abby just shared he was having quiet time with the Lord. And God just asked him, I'm going to use my own words, so please don't correct me. I might have one or two of the things wrong, but in short, God just asked him, what is his planning? He's in business, and it seems like he does good planning because he sees the fruit. And God just asked him, how's your planning for the next period? What's your planning for the next 3 months? And he could answer God, this is my planning. And for the next, was it 8 years or 8 months? Let's say for the next 8 months, oh, this is my planning. This is what I'm going to do, God. This is my plans. And for the next 8 years, he says, well, this is more or less my plans, and this is what I'm going to do. Astute businessman. For me, it was such an eye-opener. Wow, that's amazing. 8 minutes is a lot for me sometimes, but he said at 8 years, and then God dropped in his spirit. And where are you going to be? What's your plans for 80 years? And he laughingly said to me earlier, well, I thought I'll be dead, but he's like, where are you going with this, God? And then God said to him, well, what are you planning on? Where are you going to be in 8,000 years? And when he said that on Monday, it just struck my spirit. I just saw God in that moment. And the eternal value of what we keep ourselves busy with just all of a sudden dawned on me. It was a sudden God moment. So I want to say to you, what are you planning to do in 8,000 years? What are you planning on doing in 8 million years from now? What are you going to see in 8 million years from now? And all of a sudden, it just brings perspective of how important it might be to see God now. Because whatever we do in this little window period has got a massive effect on the planning thereafter. What happens in 80 years determines 800, 8 million, call it whatever you may, amount of years. Seeing God brings eternal value. Seeing God brings eternal value. And luckily you guys are all in church, so I know the answer to the question, but do you want to see God? I've seen it this weekend a lot with this ministry. I was just, and the amount of testimonies just rolls from the lips of these people. I'm just in awe, and I'm so blessed by it. And I just realized the word says, let it be to you according to your faith. Guys, if you're going to be all charismatic and believe you're going to see God at church, you are going to see God at church. If you're going to be all charismatic, in love said, that you're just only going to see God in this church on Sundays, then you're probably just going to see Him here on Sundays. I say this with love and respect. But if you've got an expectation to see God daily, not in one moment, but in a moment with coffee with Johan, or when he goes up on the mountain, or when he goes worship, or when he goes jogging, if you've got your heart set, and I'm not saying bam, 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 but if you've got heart set, if you've got your faith set out to see God more often, I can bet you, no, we don't bet, I can promise you that you yes, yes, and no, yeah. I can tell you that you will reap that. You will see your God. If I want to see my God and my children by His grace, I'm going to see. Do you want to see God? Or are there areas of your heart, areas of your life that you say, man, church and cell group is really more than enough of seeing. The rest I'll sort out. But that only the Holy Spirit and you should sort out. I want to see God as much as possible. And seeing God is not always easy. Or Johan might see God and then in that moment he needs to help me with something at game for 2 hours. But that is being God in that moment to me. Sometimes seeing God is not always a nice experience. It sometimes comes with your cross and your calling and the things that you've called for. That's just a by-the-by for free. Do we value it? Unfortunately, the guys out there, the world does not value it. But we need to go shine that light of value. You can have monopoly money. You can have real money in your pocket, thinking that it's monopoly money and throwing it around. You can have what you think is a fake ring of plated gold paint, but it's actually an 18-karat gold ring with a portal on top. And you can think it's worth nothing and you can throw it around. Likewise, we can sometimes not realize how sacred, how valuable God's presence and seeing Him, hearing Him, Emmanueling, having Him as Emmanuel in our lives is. And then we're not going to protect it too much. So value is important. How much do you value seeing God? And lastly, what is it worth to you? There's some people that will go around the world to see the Eiffel Tower. Nothing wrong with that. People will pay millions and thousands and you know what to go see the Mona Lisa. Thousands of dollars to go see a World Cup final. Or to see the Stormers play at Newlands. Not thousands, but a couple of bucks. People will go out of their way to go listen to bands that come from across the world to South Africa. Spend a lot of money to go and see them. To experience that. They'll spend a lot. They'll do a lot. They'll go out of their way to go and have that experience, to see that, to drink that in. What is it worth to me and you to see God? What is it worth to you and me to see our God? Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. Thank you, God. You're a good God. Sorry, guys, that was a bit personal. But Lord, I thank you that you're better than any exhibition, anything, any artist, any sports team, even any family member, anything or any person in this entire world, Lord. And the only reason why people would not want to see you is because they haven't seen you. It's the only reason. Because once you have laid your eyes figuratively upon God and He has reached your most inner being, you cannot but stop wanting to see Him. Lord, multiply that amongst us. Multiply that, Lord. And not just us. We don't want to keep it here because that's not who you are. You cannot be kept. Lord, may this be an area that wants to see God. They just want to see God. And the only way they can do this is through Christ. So Christ, we ask that you will lead this area, that you will lead this church, that you will lead these people, that you will lead these families, mothers and fathers and children, to be a people so crazed in love with who you are, wanting to see you. And Jesus, lead us to that. Because truly, because really, 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 truly, 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 I know it is true. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Lord, may it go like a fire in our families. May it go like a fire in our streets. May it go like a fire in our congregation and in this area. May it go like a fire to the nation. The simple basics of a people that just want to see, know, experience, walk with their God. We honor you and we love you, Lord. I'm not going to share much. If you just share that sentiment, if you just share that heart that I just went off about, if that is you, if you say yes to that, just raise your hand. Say, Lord, here I am. I want to see you more and I want to see other people see you. That's it. Thank you, God. You see the hands. We want to see you. We want to see you more. In Jesus' name, we worship you. Thank you. Cover us and you lead us this week. And you multiply yourself through us. Jesus, we thank you for your perfect sacrifice. Thank you that heaven can come to earth now. Thank you that we can see that perfect Father now in this lifetime. And we just say, more, Lord. More, Lord. More. Open up the blind eyes to see you. Open up the deaf ears to hear you. Open up the stubborn hearts to be loved by you. Open up the fatherless to realize they're not fatherless. In Jesus' name, we honor you and we thank you. Amen. 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 If you need prayer, you're more than welcome to come and we'll pray for you. Otherwise, there's cake and coffee and enjoy your week. Go see God a lot and go share it a lot and bring your testimonies. Let this house be full of testimonies of seeing God, the real God, the one of the Word, the one of the Holy Spirit, nothing else, the one that we can only see through Christ. Bring in the testimonies so that we can share.